7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back, and again, we are Pony Cake Sports. And as always, I'm here with Tim and Tom. Guys, how you guys doing tonight?
Fantastic. It is great to be back from our bye. You know, it was much needed. Josh had his way with his girlfriend in Denver, and me and Tim were working like slaves here back in Chicago, but it is what it is.
Josh did just go to absolute pound town in Colorado on his girlfriend, like to say future wife, but he's not even a gentleman. He didn't even decide to do that. He just went to pound town and then went on his way. You know, it is what it is. You know,
just a pound and run.
Just a pound and run. Very similar what we do to the WBLZ network every single Tuesday night. We pound the shit out of it and then leave them to their roller coaster articles for the rest of the week.
Did you have something else to say about bonus point leagues?
But listen, WBLZ, they're giving us shit now because we are 2-3 in their league. I have thought about it. So I called A-Bit Bros earlier, and honestly, I called them just to talk, you know, being off last week, wanted to talk to them, see how things were going, what's going on, have their mothers baked them anything new? Obviously, they're like 45 years old, still living in their mother's basements, so want to see if they got any new meals or, you know, if it's still just the everyday hungry man's that they're getting, Salisbury steak and corn. But they started giving us shit because we're 2-3. We're last place in the division. When they self-admittedly made the league at the very last minute, even though I said I would make a real one, made it at the last minute, made it with a bunch of bonus points, made it so quarterbacks averaged obnoxious amounts of points. If Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character Radio were to make a league, this would be that league. It is the dumbest fucking league I have ever been in. It's just obnoxious. And then there was, you're 2-3. Bing, 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 bing. I have a bell. You fucking idiots. Start a real league, okay? Start a real league. You wanted fantasy football advice, we gave it to you. We started the new WBLZ website. They said, well, Tim, that's not our website. That's your brother and sister's website. Not my fucking brother or sister, you fucking idiots. What's the matter with you people? I want everyone to do well. Listen, I'm not going to be a part of a website that's fantasy. Pip Rivers in scene one. Giants in scene two. The Cedar Point classes in session at Zombie High School, scene three. What the fuck is going on right now? You brought it up. You made me do this.
All I asked was
Best Hip Hop Awards 2017 live stream. How to watch online. Are you fucking kidding?
It is a sports
King's
website.
Dominion. Twisted Timbers is more than just a coaster. The
man,
fuck out of here.
There's something wrong with you.
No, there's something wrong with it. I don't know what I'm looking at. Am I looking at football?
It's a media website. WBLZ Media.
Oh, you know, I was just talking to someone at work the other day. I really needed a site to get the latest news on football and roller coasters. That was all in one. I really fucking needed that. So you're right. My bad, Josh.
Let's move on to week 6.
That's not going to go over well, but I don't care. It needed to be said.
They're old, senile. They'll probably forget it, just like they forgot that your name was Tim and not Carson that one week.
They have a problem with it. They know where to find me. They know my phone number. Dial it up. I know last time you said, well, my girlfriend. Yeah, your fucking mother's told you that someone was talking trash about you online. That's fine. You know where to find me. You have a problem, call in.
Moving on. Week 6 in the NFL. We have a couple teams on bye. Those teams are the Buffalo Bills, Cincinnati Bengals, Dallas Cowboys, and the Seattle Seahawks. Let's first start off with matchup number 1, and that is the Philadelphia Eagles at the Carolina Panthers on the Thursday night football game. What are your guys' thoughts?
Both these teams are hot right now. The Eagles are 4-1, first place in the NFC East. Panthers just beat a tough Detroit Lions team on the road. Cam Newton looks like Cam Newton. I'm going with the home team. It's hard to predict Thursday night games, in all honesty. Don't know what you're going to get, but I think Carolina Panthers will be able to do enough. I think that front seven is a better front seven than the Eagles have. They will be able to get after Carson Wentz, put him on his rear end. Big game for Christian McCaffrey.
The running game is going to be the difference. I agree with what you said, Tom. The front seven from the Carolina Panthers is what's going to be the X factor in this game. Going to be able to stop Smallwood, Blunt, whoever's at the running back position for
Corey
the Eagles.
Clement,
yeah,
whoever else.
Exactly.
Deion Barner.
Going to really put the pressure on Carson Wentz to make the right decision. And with as good as he has been, I don't believe that he's going to consistently be able to do it. It's a Thursday night game, which also kind of brings out the worst in people. And I see that happening with Carson Wentz. I will take the Carolina Panthers as well.
Got a couple questions to ask you guys. Donald Pumphrey, we know that he's on IR, right? But seeing all these running backs, such as Corey Clement and Kenyon Barner and whoever else is there, do you guys think Donald Pumphrey would have had a role at all in this offense, or a big role at all?
He would have had a role, but your best ability is availability, and he hasn't been available. But he's got that playmaker in him. He's an all-time leading FCS rusher at San Diego State. His dude can get it done, but can't do it on the bench and in the tub.
He's got the running. He's the running back version of Zach Ertz. If he can play, he might be good, but he can't, so I don't know.
Carson Wentz or Cam Newton, who has more fantasy points?
Whew.
Dirty. I'd go Cam this week.
I'm also going to go Cam.
I wouldn't want to start either of them, though. I just don't like relying on quarterbacks on Thursday night matches.
Thursday night games altogether, there's trash.
Let's go Nelson Aguilar and, let's say, Alshon Jeffrey. On the other side, Kelvin Benjamin and Funchess.
Funchess might not play. He's been limited this whole week so far. He wasn't a full go this week, and it was just walkthroughs. So it'll be interesting to see if he plays. But if him and Benjamin can both play, I think they'll be able to do a number on the weak Philadelphia Eagles secondary. I'd like those two over Jeffrey and Aguilar.
Everything Panther. I just feel like the Eagles are going to struggle mightily, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know who exactly is going to blow up on Carolina, but it's going to be all Carolina. I expect the Eagles to be between like 10 and 13 points.
Tim, can you make a Panther noise for me? That's what you're going to hear a lot when the Panthers score a bunch of touchdowns on the Eagles Thursday.
First game for the Sunday afternoon games, Miami Dolphins at the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons coming off of a bye. The Miami Dolphins, they are led by one Smoking Jay Cutler, who does not care about football.
I don't think we should be predicting who wins this game. I think we should predict if Jay Cutler throws over 100 yards. I'm going to go under 100 yards, and I'm going to pick the Atlanta Falcons to win by 54.
Wow. That's a Tim guesstimate right there.
You're rubbing off on me.
You know, I've rubbed off on a lot of people, Tom, so I don't doubt that in the least bit. Listen, I'm hoping to that it's a little bit closer than people may think, but I agree completely. Matt Ryan's going to have a big game. The Dolphins, I think, are going to try to keep it close, but I have the Atlanta Falcons winning 42-17.
I have the Falcons winning as well, and I also think we will see Matt Moore in this game. I don't think Jay Cutler will play the whole game. Next up, let me ask you guys this. So we have Jay Ajayi, who has not had a very good year so far.
Yep.
Over or under 75 yards rushing?
I'm going to go over.
I want to agree with Tom desperately. I desperately want to agree with Tom, but I'm gonna say under. Strictly because I don't feel like the game's going to dictate that. So I'll say under.
All right. I am going to go with under as well. I think it's going to be about 62 yards for him. So just my thoughts.
Choice, Josh.
Yep. Next up, Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings.
Right now, Sam Bradford is not healthy. Case Keenum will most likely be starting for the Vikings. And we have seen Aaron Rodgers struggle going into Minnesota. He's struggled against a Zimmer-led defense numerous times, but I think the Packers are hot right now. They are the team to beat in the NFC for me. They're getting healthy. They got a running back, Mr. Aaron Jones, who could run the football. They got an all-Aaron backfield. Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Ripkowski. They're going to get it done on the road. It will be closer than people think. Go 27-21 for the Green Bay Packers.
I am sticking with Cam Newton's theory and that men with females' names are not going to be good this week. The Aarons are going to fail miserably. The Minnesota's defense is going to be fantastic. They're going to step up. It's in Minnesota. And I just think that this is going to be the week that they step up. 28-24 Minnesota Vikings over the Green Bay Packers.
Aaron Jones or Jerick McKinnon this week?
Aaron Jones.
Jerick McKinnon.
Interesting. All right. I am going to go with the Green Bay Packers. I don't even think it's going to be close. I really think that it's going to be a blowout. And as good as the Vikings defense has been playing, it was a very close game against the Chicago Bears. Yep. I don't care if anybody wants to admit that or not, but it was.
It was.
And
not.
The Packers are a much better team than the Bears.
You're telling me at any point watching that game, you thought the Bears were going to win?
No, I just thought it was a very close game.
It was a close game.
Yeah, what's the final score, idiot?
That doesn't matter.
No, I'm just saying, it's a close game. Next up, the Detroit Lions at the New Orleans Saints.
I'm a little nervous with how the Detroit Lions offense has been playing.
Saints are coming off a bye.
Saints are coming off a bye. And the Saints are playing at home. The Saints are a better team at home in the dome playing on that turf. That team's a lot faster playing on that home turf. I'm going to go with the Saints. They are the underdogs. More people on ESPN are picking the Lions to win, but I'm picking the Saints. They got rid of AP. He was a cancer. Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara will be the 1-2 punch that the Saints need. It's going to make this offense better. I like Drew Brees against the Lions, even though the Lions have been playing a lot better defensive as of late. Stafford is not healthy.
I hate to say I told you so, but I fucking told you so. AP was not going to be on that team throughout the year. Like Tom just said, he was a cancer. He was miserable. It's hard for me not to start Alvin Kamara this week, especially if you're in a PPR league coming off of a bye against a Detroit defense who has some solid corners, but there's going to be some opportunity there. Going to be very difficult for me, but at home, give me the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Saints as well. Coming off of a bye, you're going to have...
You agreed on hopefully, everything?
I'm hoping no. Willie Snead... No, we...
You picked Vikings.
Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping Willie Snead actually plays this game. Don't flick me off. I'm hoping Willie Snead actually plays this game, and I really think Willie Snead is going to take a lot of pressure off of Michael Thomas. I really feel like it's going to happen. So, New Orleans Saints, and I don't...
Maybe Ted Ginnwell.
Yeah. I don't even think this game is going to be close either, guys. I really think that the Saints defense has been playing a lot better, and Detroit cannot play this game and try to do make up points at the end of it. It just cannot happen this game. Next up, the New England Patriots at the surging New York Jets.
It's kind of crazy. Both these teams have the same record. They're tied for first place in the AFC. But you cannot pick the New York Jets in this football game. Yeah, they've been doing their best impersonation of the Mark Sanchez Jets back in the day when they were good with Ryan as coach. Patriots are going to win this game. Their defense has been horrendous, but they're going to find a way to stop the Jets. Patriots win big.
Jesus Christ. Tom Brady is going to backhand the Jets like Rick beat Lucy. It's going to be an absolute shit show. The Patriots are going to win big 55-10.
55-10. I like the Patriots this game as well. It is the Jets. They have been playing better, but I just think that Brady's going to have a big game that he should have. And he was banged up this past week against the Tampa Bay Bucks. But, you know, when he has a bad game, he usually comes back with a huge game. So even though it wasn't even a terrible game, he had a fumble, he had an interception. It wasn't a great game for him, but I think he's going to come back and have a huge game this week. So next up, we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Washington Redskins.
The Redskins are coming off a bye, and they have a far superior team than the 49ers. 49ers are hoping that Kirk Cousins will come there next year. He's going to show that organization that he is worth $30 million a year. Redskins are going to put up a ton of points on the Niners. Big-time win for the Redskins.
This is going to be the week that the 49ers get their first win. I don't know.
I really hope you lock these in, Tim. Because normally you switch them. You make all these dumbass picks. You switch them last second. And that's why you're doing good in this league.
I can assure you, I have never switched one pick that I've made on this show. Unlike you, who has self-admittedly changed picks. Anything I have said on this show has always 100% been locked in. The 49ers, this is their week. They finally got it against a high-power Washington offense, a bit overrated, cross-country, everything against them. I just got a gut feeling. Give me the San Francisco 49ers, 27-24.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't know how you could pick them, I guess. I don't.
Gut feeling.
I'm going to go Washington.
I don't know how you couldn't propose after being on vacation with your girlfriend for a week. After being together
days,
for
bro.
Over 6 years.
6 days. And it hasn't been 6 years.
It's only felt like 6 years. It felt like 10.
So I'm going to go Washington here. Even though they're going to be missing Josh Norman for the next couple weeks, I still don't think Pierre Garçon is going to be... I don't want to say troublesome. I think he's going to have a good game. I think he'll have 80 yards and probably a touchdown. But I don't think that rushing game for San Francisco is going to be anything for Washington to really worry about. That's my biggest thing. And as bad as Washington's rushing game is themselves, I think their passing game is just a little bit much better than San Francisco. The only thing is Washington, they tried to get Josh Doctson involved last week. I know you guys watched the highlights in the game. But, man, him dropping that ball in the end zone, he had it in his hands. He went down to the ground and dropped it.
He's banged up now, too.
And, and that's a shame to see because that play right there could have been the turning point for Josh Doctson's season and could have been a turning point for the passing game for Washington. I really thought so. And then that drop right there is a big exclamation point of how not ready they are, I think, to take it to the next level. But I still think their passing game is a little bit better than San Francisco's overall. So, Washington for me. Next up, the Chicago Bears at the Baltimore Ravens. Blech.
Mitchell Trubisky's second start. He's facing another team that wears purple. And I think he's going to have the same outcome this Sunday. Ravens are going to get the job done. Joe Flacco is going to look like Super Bowl Flacco. The Ravens are going to be able to run the football against one of the worst linebacking core that the Bears have. Big-time win for the Ravens.
Trubisky's going to be involved with some overzealous, overly hyped-up defenders on the Ravens side of the ball. Trubisky's going to get hurt. And one Mike Glennon's going to have to come back into the Chicago Bears season. It's going to be bad. The Bears rush the Trubisky train. They continue to make poor quarterback decisions. The Bears get smoked on the road. The Ravens win big.
The one thing that we saw with this past week with Trubisky is not a lot of Tariq Cohen. Do you guys think that is because of Trubisky and his quarterback style, or do you think it was just a couple changes, or do you guys think that was how game flow was?
It's his style. That's his style, man. Guys like Tariq Cohen drastically, in my opinion, drastically lose value when someone like Trubisky comes into play.
I think it's because the Bears have the second worst coaching staff in the NFL behind the Colts.
Maybe.
They need to get Cohen the football. He's their most explosive playmaker.
Oh, my God.
He is. Who's more explosive than Tariq Cohen on that team? Just watch him return a freaking punt. That dude is quick. He is fast. He needs the football in his hands. They need to force touches on him.
To be honest, I wouldn't even mind if they just light him up a wide receiver 10 times a game.
Even if they just have him try to run end-arounds, fake ones all the time, give him a couple. Just
that,
give him
that
the football.
That one end-around that he did do. was pretty impressive. Even though you hate him, Tim, you do have to admit it. It was an end around to the right-hand side, and he made the defender miss and then planted with his right foot, cut back to the left, and he got the first down, and that's all he needed. So, got to get the ball in his hands. Even though Jordan Howard is a very good and capable running back, I think Tariq Cohen just adds that Darren Sproles element in a sense. They're not the same player, but they're similar of sorts. So.
If you have Jordan Howard, bench him this week. He's going to be useless.
Let me ask you guys this here. I want you to pick, let's see, Trubisky or Flacco.
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 The Bears running backs, which includes Benny Cunningham, Tariq Cohen, and Jordan Howard, or Buck Allen, Alex Collins, and whoever the other guy is that they signed off the
Buck
practice
Allen,
squad.
Alex Collins.
I agree with Tim. Ravens running backs will score more this week.
All right. That's all I got for that.
Just look what Jerick McKinnon did against the Bears.
Yeah, no,
and
I agree.
Their defense has been their strong suit. They are getting Danny Trevathan back, but they're going to need more than Danny Trevathan to be able to stop the run.
Next up, let's go to the Cleveland Browns at the Houston Texans. Has it been confirmed yet that Kaiser will start this game, or is it going to be Hogan?
I don't think they've said yet. All I've read was that the benching of Kaiser is supposed to be a learning... Was it a learning decision for him to make him a better player and better quarterback overall?
Yeah, telling someone that they're fucking trash is normally a very good learning experience.
This should be an absolute blowout, which might disappoint a lot of you Deshaun Watson owners out there who have been riding his coattails and expecting him to have 5 touchdowns a game. That might not happen this week. They might be running the football more, might be relying on that defense. I just don't see a way that the Cleveland Browns can win this game unless Myles Garrett just absolutely goes ham out there, hurts Watson and Tom Savage's force into this football game. Houston Texans should win big.
You know, Deshaun versus Deshaun, two different spellings, different people. Deshaun Watson's going to blow up this week again. He's going to have his third consecutive week with 5 touchdowns. The Houston Texans dominate the Cleveland Browns.
I'm going to go with the Houston Texans, and I don't think Lamar Miller will break. I think he had, 87 yards last week or something close to that. I don't think he breaks 60 yards this game. I think that the Cleveland front 7 will keep it close in the rushing department, and I think you're going to see Deonta Foreman break off a couple long runs and catch a couple balls out of the backfield. But I do think the Houston Texans will win. I think it's going to be a little bit closer of a game than you think, Tim. I think it's going to be...
Fuck you, Josh.
I think it's just going to be a little bit closer of a game. So
yeah, fuck you.
All right. being mean for no reason. Myles Garrett, what did you guys think of his very first play of his NFL career?
That's what Cleveland was hoping for when they selected him number 1 overall.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. Seeing him come in, very first play, sack his very first play. I was sitting there, I'm like, man, Cleveland's got to be happy, even though their team sucks. They got to be happy that he came in and that was his first play from the line of scrimmage. So, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Arizona Cardinals.
Both these teams right now, it's hard to get a real good read on them. The Bucs, strange season. Strange start of the season for them. Bye week 1. The hurricane that made their week 1 matchup go to week 11. Last week, they should have beat the New England Patriots at home. They've been struggling with trying to find a kicker for the last 2 seasons. Josh, have they re-signed it or got a new kicker yet?
They called me to come down for a tryout, and I have not made it down yet.
Did you decline?
I was waiting for those jokes to start.
My lord.
But
literally, I probably could beat out some of their kickers. That's sad.
Right now, the Bucs are going on the road. It's always tough to go on the road, especially when you're going from East Coast to the West Coast, going into Arizona. Arizona's a tough place to play. It is a very good home field advantage for them. Cardinals just got Adrian Peterson. That should help their running game. But I'm gonna have to give the advantage to the Bucs. I think they're a better team overall. It's going to be a close game, but But I feel like Jameis Winston and the Duggernaut are going to do enough to get the job done. And that the front seven for the Bucs, they're going to cause havoc on Carson Palmer and that offensive line. Look what they did last week to Tom Brady. They were able to hit him, make him less of a quarterback, and they're going to be able to do the same thing against Bruce Arians-led Arizona Cardinals.
The Bucs are going across country. Cardinals defense at times has looked decent. It does not matter. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with that long week that they've had, they're the superior team. They're going to show that they're a superior team and get above 500. Tampa Bay Buccaneers win this game.
I think, who did they sign? Patrick Murray, kicker? I think they ended up signing. So I think they, did they release Folk?
They must have.
Yeah, I'm not.
They even worked out Aguayo again. it's terrible.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on with this team. It's just it's I don't even know.
Is this a football or a football podcast?
I'm looking at
you're mentioning kickers. The U.S. lost tonight for the first time in 31 years. They're not going to qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah, I'm looking at Pat Murray here, and he was with the Bucs originally a couple years ago, I believe, and he's got a lot of issues, and he's talking out with a psychiatrist and stuff like that. So
Is he beat his wife?
I don't know what's going on with my team anymore.
He's the new Bucs kicker?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm not sure what's going on.
They're like, hey, you know what? This fucking crazy person is better than the last two guys we had.
Yeah, hopefully it just means that he's going to make some field goals. So a little frustrating, but hopefully it turns out well. So if not, just sign Robert Aguayo again. I don't really care. Just he's bound to make some kicks. I'm gonna go with the Bucs in that game. So I kind of have to.
Shocking.
I know. Next up, we have the LA Rams, and they're going to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville looked like they're one of the better teams in the NFL last week, but I feel like this is happening a lot with them. They have an amazing game. Look at week one. They blew the freaking roof off Houston Texans Stadium, destroyed them. Next week, they laid an egg. I think that's going to happen again this week. They are at home. They're going to lay an egg this week. The Rams are going to get back on track. That number one offense is going to get back on track. Jared Goff is going to find a way to light up this Jaguars secondary. Rams win a big-time game at Jacksonville.
Jacksonville Jaguars, that team that you see, you're like, man, they're kind of attractive. Like, you see that girl, like, she's attractive. She's thick. And then you get her naked, and she's just full of stretch marks. That's the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Rams are going to torch that team. Jared Goff, big game. Give me the Rams.
I'm going to go with the Rams as well, and
I'm shocked you both.
Yeah, that was I thought you were going to go with Jacksonville sure. That's where I thought you were going. But I don't think, you know what, I'll go Jacksonville just because. Changing it. Jacksonville for me.
Just because, fuck you, Tim.
Fournette should be able to run the football on the Rams.
I think Bortles will have a pretty decent game. 158 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions.
That bitch threw the ball once in the second half.
That's all he needed to do, man. I don't understand why you're hating on him.
Got the win.
He sucks.
He's got a W under his belt, so don't know what else to
Mitchell Trubisky, the next Blake Bortles.
What are you guys thinking about Gurley? Do you guys think a bounce back performance for him?
Yes. This is a matchup he needs to be that Todd Gurley we saw the first 4 weeks of the year. I think he's going to do that. He will score double-digit fantasy points this year or this week, and he'll approach 20 fantasy points in PPR leagues.
Dang.
I agree with Tom. He's gonna blow up this week.
Sammy Watkins, what do you guys think about him this week? They got him the ball.
I think Watkins and Woods will struggle this week. Cooper Kupp and those tight ends are going to need to step it up. They play in the slot. Yeah, the Jaguars do have good linebackers, good nickel corners that can cover them, but they are going to need to make the plays. Sammy Watkins will get shut out if he's lined up against Jalen Ramsey most of the game, which most likely he will be.
Does any Jacksonville wide receiver make an impact at all on this game, and Allen Hurns or anybody else?
Como se dice, no fucking way.
I'll agree with Tim on this one.
Really?
What do you want from me?
I don't know.
It's just right now it's hard to start any Jacksonville pass catcher. In all honesty, just look at last week. Attempted one pass in the second half. That's what you're going to get most of the times out of this Jacksonville offense. You can't be relying on that. Even in the bye weeks when you're needing and you're desperate for a wide receiver, you can't be relying on those pass catchers.
All right, we're going to go on break, and then when we come back, we'll get the rest of the games.
Tired of ESPN, Bleacher Report, and every single website out there giving you the same information, the same exact opinions over and over and over? You need to check out our friends at CleatGeeks.com. CleatGeeks gives you everything from wrestling to football to MLB to MMA. They bring you every single thing you need to know as a sports fan. If you're tired of the everyday opinion, make sure you go check out our friends at CleatGeeks.com.
I have been searching and searching and searching for sports memorabilia over and over again, and I can't find a good place to basically find exactly what I need. Until just recently, PristineAuction.com, they have everything that you can imagine. UFC stuff, NFL, MLB, NBA, they have autographs from players in all those leagues. Pictures, jerseys, helmets, anything you can imagine. You can go on there right now and get a signed Antonio Brown jersey for $150. Framed, signature, everything. You can go on there and get some gloves signed by who? Mayweather and McGregor for $550. A little overpriced, but it is what it is. It's an auction. Go on there, get what you need, pristineauction.com. Check out their daily deals that they have going on, and you know, be happy with some of the stuff that you buy. Again, we've been going to Pristine Auction the last couple of months now. We're extremely happy, so hit them up and see what you can get.
Pony Keg Sports, my name is Terry. I have no friends, and I just want to talk about fantasy football. What should I do? Well, Terry, you should go to DraftingSleepers.com. It's a growing community with smart individuals like us at Pony Keg Sports. We will answer your questions. And there's people talking about fantasy football 24/7. If you guys are like Terry and have no friends, go to DraftingSleepers.com. Join the community. I'm so tired of so-called prophets giving me terrible fantasy football advice.
I'm tired of these corn-fed cousin kissers on the four-letter network trying to steer my goddamn team into the wall.
And I'm tired of juiced-up, washed-up linebackers trying to pretend like they know fantasy football. Gentlemen, that is exactly why we created Pony Keg Sports, your number one place to go for fantasy football sports every Tuesday night on WBLZ. We got balls, baby. Woo!
All right, everybody. We are back, and we are going to finish up.
Got some clean ears.
Yeah, you guys are very weird.
Why?
I don't know who asks for Q-tips during the middle of a show, but...
That's why we needed a break.
Yeah, you guys are... You're something else. That's all I have to say.
Would you rather I have waxy ears?
I guess I really don't care if you have waxy ears.
Well, fuck you then.
All right. So next up, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Tim, you go first. I want to see what you're thinking on this game.
I'm thinking that it's an absolute joke. The Chiefs are going to freaking railroad the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers are garbage right now. They're going to try to just rely heavily on Le'Veon Bell. They're going to listen to him. And say, you know what? Obviously, last week wasn't working. We're going to go run heavy. And Le'Veon Bell is going to get denied. Kareem Hunt, another big game. And the Kansas City Chiefs win easily.
It's hard for me right now.
Big Ben, three more picks.
I think it's going to be a close game.
I think it's going to be close as well. I'm going to have to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers on this. And I will not be changing this, Tim. I think the Steelers are going to find a way to get it done. They need to win this game. Yeah, they are 3-2, but their morale is down. The fan base, they're not believing in them right now. The national media is not believing in them. Big Ben needs to get his mojo back. He is going to do that this weekend. That defense actually makes Alex Smith look somewhat human. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers in the upset.
I'm going to go with Kansas City still, Tom, but I do agree with the fact that I think it will be a closer game than a lot of people think as well. I do not think Kareem Hunt will rush for over 100 yards for how many consecutive games?
It's five now.
Yeah, I don't think that will happen.
It was total yards, not necessarily.
Total yards, yeah, sorry.
Total yards of 105 or more in these first five games.
Yeah, I can't see it this game. I think Pittsburgh's defense is just, I think they're going to come out and they really have to put their foot down because of the way that Pittsburgh, as a team and as a whole, how they have played the last couple of weeks. And I don't even think Ben Roethlisberger is going to play that extremely well either, but I just feel like the team has to do something, and I feel like the defense has to put their foot down.
Can I say one thing to you?
Yeah.
They lost to the Chicago Bears.
I understand that.
The worst team in football.
And the Bears are pretty good.
They're awful.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Kansas City's going to win, but I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think. So, next up, we have the LA Chargers and the Oakland Raiders. Tom, will they have Derek Carr for this game?
If Derek Carr plays, the Oakland Raiders will win this game. I think he will play. We've seen players come back with the same injury that Derek Carr suffered in 1 week. That's what's going to happen this time. Amari Cooper, he's coming back. He's going to have a big game. He's torched the San Diego Chargers in the past, but the new LA Chargers, he's going to do that this week. Big game for Carr and Amari Cooper.
Is this injury the same injury Dez Bryant had? Was it last year or the year before?
I'm not sure about Dez. I know Romo had it and came back within a week. I'm not sure what other position players had it, but I know Romo was a quarterback who had it.
I like the Raiders as well. Michael Crabtree, two touchdowns. Amari Cooper, one touchdown. Marshawn Lynch with a touchdown. Big week for the Raiders. They demolish the disgusting Los Angeles Chargers.
I think the Chargers are going to win this game, and I do not think Carr will play, but I think even if Carr does play, I still think the Chargers pull a game out here. They finally got their win last week against the Giants. I feel like this is another almost must-win game for them.
Oh, yeah.
And if they don't win this game, it's going to be a rough season for the rest of the season. So this is another game they need to win. And if they do end up winning this game, then good things for them because then they're, 2-4 now from here on out. So they do need to win this game. They need to right the ship, and they need to go in the right direction. The biggest thing is, though, they got to get Keenan Allen the ball, and Phillip Rivers has to throw him the ball, not just throw the ball in his direction, throw him the ball, actually to him.
You sound like a frustrated fantasy owner, sir.
In a sense, but when you have 12 targets and you only have 5 catches, I'm not going to put all the blame on the wide receiver, and I'm not going to put all the blame on the quarterback either. Some wide receivers can make the catches when the ball is thrown in their area, but sometimes you have to throw it to the actual wide receiver and give him a chance as well.
Tim, if EJ Manuel is the starter, you still picking the Raiders?
Fuck no.
I agree.
All right. Next up, we have the New York Football Giants at the Denver Broncos.
I'm really not excited about either of these primetime games, the Sunday night. Well, I'm kind of excited about the
Monday night.
Yeah, it's not pretty. Both these games should have been flexed out if they could do that. The Broncos are coming off a bye. They have to win this football game. The Giants have the worst offensive line in football, in my opinion. The Broncos will be able to get after the quarterback, rushing 4 guys, and get after him often. I think they'll be able to run the football against the Giants' defense. The Giants have given up. I don't think they're going to come to play, and I think this is going to be a blowout for Denver.
Every day I wake up and I say I hate my football team. I hate the coaches. I hate the upper management. I hate the players. But at least I'm not the New York Football Giants. They are garbage. They are trash. Eli Manning should retire. End of story. The Broncos win this game by 100.
I'm picking the Denver Broncos. Trevor Siemian or Eli Manning, guys?
Trevor Siemian.
This week, I'd pick Eli. Garbage time.
Poo decision.
I think the Broncos.
Dinner bet, Trevor Siemian.
I don't think he'll have to be able to throw. I don't think Siemian will have to throw the football that often.
Eli Manning will throw the football 55 times, have 4 interceptions and 200 yards with 1 touchdown.
It's possible.
It's what he's going to do.
I wouldn't want to start either of them, but
he's literally throwing to your drunk cousin who was a parking attendant last week, and now he's a fucking NFL wide receiver.
That's pretty much what it came down to. I'm shocked, though, that the Giants have not called on Victor Cruz or some of these other wide receivers that have been around in the league for a while. I know I texted, was it you guys? I think I texted you guys. Mario Manningham, Ruben Randall, Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, and is there one more? I can't remember if there was another one or not. All free agents and all under the age of 31. And all former Giants. Pretty crazy to think of.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I can't believe none of them have gotten a phone call yet. Just mind-blowing.
They were probably expecting one. Even though their careers are over, they're probably not
probably
in shape.
Just sitting there like, yeah, finally. Back to the promised land. All right, Denver for me. So, next up, we have the great Monday Night Football game. The Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans.
It's an interesting matchup. Right now, I'm kind of on the fence. If Marcus Mariota plays, I think you have to expect the Titans to win this football game. But right now, they're saying he will be a game-time decision. If he is out, which I'm expecting him to be out, I am picking the Indianapolis Colts to win the game. Titans have been able to be passed on. They lost last week to a quarterback who threw for under 100 yards. And I think the Colts will be able to stop the running game for the Titans if Mariota is out. Matt Castle is not a good quarterback. Colts if Mariota is out. Titans if Mariota plays.
Just giving Tom another reason to make some changes, because Tommy Change, that's his MO. Listen, it's going to be Castle versus Brissett. It's going to be a garbage-ass game. 4-2 is your final. 3 safeties. The Colts win!
I am going to go with the Colts, even if Mariota plays. I like Jacoby Brissett. I like what he brings to the Colts offense. I think it meshes really well with Marlon Mack. I think Marlon Mack really thrives in that offense with Jacoby Brissett. I'm very interested to see what does happen once Andrew Luck does come back. Are we going to see Marlon Mack still thrive the way he has been? Or if an Andrew Luck in that offense kind of, you know, boosts up Frank Gore's production and hinders Marlon Mack. I think it'll still be there, but it'll be very interesting. Do we have an idea or timeline when Andrew Luck is coming back? You said possibly this past week.
No.
That didn't happen.
No, I heard the second week of November.
I really don't know. It's still up in the air. See how he practices this week. Hopefully it's next week against the Jags. I'll be at that game. But it's going to be sometime this year. They really haven't.
So he can come back and then get murdered by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He'd torch him.
You think so?
Yes.
Wow.
He's the best quarterback in the league.
He'd probably get diabetes again. Be out.
Highest score this week and the lowest score. Which teams?
The lowest score will be the Bears. I think there's a chance they score under 10 points, and that's a very low number. The high score will be the Indianapolis Colts.
Low score will be the 4-2 of the Colts and Titans, like I specified earlier. And the high score will be the Detroit Lions against New Orleans Saints.
All right. I'm going to go with the highest score. Who'd you say, the Lions and the Saints, Tim?
None of your goddamn business. Just make your own picks.
I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh and Kansas City, and the lowest score, I'm going to go with, I want to say Cleveland and Houston, but I'm going to say Chicago and Baltimore. So those are my two scores there. You guys want to go ahead and move on to some of the injuries that we kind of saw for fantasy football in week 5. So let's talk about some of those guys, how it could impact your fantasy team. And then once we talk about that, we're going to talk about some of the pickups and waivers that we should be doing. And then later on after that, we are going to be talking about some of the fantasy guys that you should be playing depending on matchups. Sound good? So Charles Clay ended up getting injured. So after losing Jordan Howard, Charles Clay goes down now. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Nick O'Leary is pretty much the guy after Charles Clay.
That's Tim's guy.
Yeah, that's your guy, Tim.
That is Tim's guy.
Actually, not a person.
But I want to know what your guys' thoughts on that as a whole. Does that boost anybody's value, wide receiver-wise or tight end-wise, for the Buffalo Bills, running back-wise, or does it bring everybody down?
I just think their offense right now is a big clusterfuck, in all honesty. There's no one I really want to own. I was really excited about Zay Jones in that system. I thought he'd be the number one guy. Thought he'd be peppered with the targets. It's just not happening. That's not the type of team the Buffalo Bills seem to be right now. Really, I don't want to start anyone on that team right now. Even LeSean McCoy, I'm viewing as a low-end running back too.
Honestly, I hate the Buffalo Bills. I hate everything about what they are. I think they need to put Peterman in just to see exactly what they have. Taylor's not the answer. He's kind of proved that over and over. So let Tom, you mentioned that it's not like the offense that they run to have Zay Jones, you know, get all those throws. Let Peterman see if he is that guy. You know, Tyrod's had his chance, and, you know, the Bills, to be fair, are still tied for first in the division. But they're tied for first in the division, and they're not competitive one way or the other. So, I don't know. The Bills, to me, are in the same situation that the Chicago Bears were 2 years ago with Jay Cutler of, hey, you have a guy here. He's putting up good enough numbers to keep his job, but he's actually not that good, and everybody hates him.
Belil Powell on the Jets, he ended up leaving the game with a calf injury. He returned later on in the game, but never actually went into the game. He just sat on the sidelines. Now the big question is, are you looking at a Elijah McGuire, who is a rookie, or are you looking at with Matt Forte possibly coming back from his own injury? What implications does that have on your fantasy team?
Not a big believer in Forte. Look, we've seen him try to play this year, get banged up. He's one of those older running backs. McGuire's worth being picked up, see what you can get out of him in a PPR league. But we've seen the New York Jets running backs be viable in fantasy this year. They've been able to put up big numbers, even against good teams. McGuire's, I think, a good start this week against the Patriots. He's going to get the checkdowns. They're going to try to run the football, and he should be the lead running back in my eyes for this week for the Jets.
Yeah, I'm staying away from all Jets running backs specifically this week. A multitude of injuries along with a multitude of, hey, he might play, he might be involved. Too much confusion. If I was going to play anyone, it would be McGuire, but only in dire circumstances.
A couple other guys that were injured, Devontae Parker from the Miami Dolphins, Giants, pretty much everybody on their team, Brandon Marshall, Dwayne Harris, we kind of talked about this earlier, who else, OBJ, Sterling Shepard, has an ankle sprain, he is walking around in a walking boot right now, so his availability is questionable. A couple of the guys that are available on the Giants, like we've talked about, Roger Lewis, Evan Ingram, Tavares King, Travis Rudolph, those guys will all be available on waivers. It'll be very interesting to see what people think of that. We'll talk about that shortly when we do get to the waiver wire portion in a couple minutes. Orleans Darkwa, another running back for the Giants. He went down this week again. Kind of like what you said, Tom, the more and more carries he gets, the more and more injured he gets. So I think we will talk about the possible pickup that you can make for waivers on that shortly, because there are two running backs that you can look for in that Giants backfield. Another running back that went down, Terrence West for the Baltimore Ravens. He went down in the first drive of the game. Alex Collins and Buck Allen, they were pretty even in snaps. Buck Allen did have a couple more snaps or more carries or more touches overall than Alex Collins did. And the two big ones, Jordy Nelson and Travis Kelce, guys. What are your guys' thoughts on those two injuries right there?
A little nervous about Jordy. He's getting older in age. He's over that 30 mark. And it seems like he's getting banged up every week now. And you got to be worried about those injuries lingering right now. When you're getting older, it takes longer to recover. And that's why, in most cases, receivers over the age of 30, a lot of people frown about owning them, especially in dynasty keeper leagues. But you have to be worried about him. And we've seen what Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb, what they can do when Jordy is not playing. If you have Jordy, try to get one of those other guys. Maybe somewhat cheap if you get Allison. Davante Adams will be expensive, but you got to be worried about Jordy.
Everything that Tom said is true about Jordy, and it concerns me. But the amount invested in Travis Kelce and the issues that he has had now over the last two seasons, if I am a Travis Kelce owner, I'm waiting for him to have a big week and then trading him immediately. That's just my – tight ends are so volatile in this NFL. I don't see it being the juice worth a squeeze.
You want to trade him right away?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, for he's had these issues back-to-back between his injuries and just his mentality. He just doesn't seem like – doesn't seem like a guy I want on my team.
All right, sounds good. Let's move on to the waiver wire portion, guys, and some of the guys that we would be looking to pick up. And I'm going to first start off Jerick McKinnon. Right now, if you look on fantasypros.com, Jerick McKinnon is the number one pickup on the waiver wires. What are your guys' thoughts on Jerick McKinnon and that Minnesota Vikings backfield?
He's worth being picked up, but I do not want to start him. I think this is all mirage. We've heard all this talk about him his whole career. He's a workout warrior. If you're a believer in the spark score and all that type of stuff with fantasy football players, he's your guy. But he hasn't been able to produce on the field. This was his best game against a defense that was struggling. They were unable to get set up. It was their fourth and fifth string linebackers out there. And I'm just not believing and Jerick McKinnon this week, especially with Sam Bradford showing that he is out and Case Keenum being the guy in Minnesota. Teams are going to key in on the run, and if Todd Gurley can't be successful behind Case Keenum, I don't think Jerick McKinnon can be either.
Jerick McKinnon is the definition of a false prophecy. Never, ever delivering, you know, what he has promised to deliver when it actually came down to it. You know, and he kind of ruined any Latavius Murray value whatsoever, because Latavius Murray is kind of the same exact thing. It's a nightmare in Minnesota, which is exactly what it has been since Adrian Peterson left. So, no, to answer your question, I do not like Jerick McKinnon.
I think Latavius Murray ruined his own possible hype that he had with this 2.7 yard per carry average.
He even said he wasn't healthy, though, yeah, before this game. So,
yeah, exactly. He's probably still running at 85% health-wise. I think he's just out there right now to give him a body. And we saw the other running back, what is his name, May, I think is what his name is. I'm not even 100% sure. I've never even seen the guy before. And he was out there trying to catch a pass out of the backfield in a terrible screen that they ran. But Jerick McKinnon, I think if you're desperate for a running back, I think it's worth an add. But I would definitely be teetering between these two guys, Jerick McKinnon and Marlon Mack. Even though Marlon Mack is the number two running back on his actual real football team, I think he has real fantasy value going forward. What are you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, just watch his plays last week. You'll be able to find his highlights. And when you watch him, even if you don't know a lot about football, he passes the eye test. This dude is fast. He's explosive. Something the Colts have not had at the running back position. When they start using him more last week, I think he only had 19 snaps, touched the ball on 10 of those. Also had a reception called back for holding. When they start giving him 30 to 40 snaps and he starts touching it 15 to 20 times a game, I think you could expect a lot out of him. Hopefully the Colts start using him like the Saints are using Alvin Kamara in New Orleans. If they do that, he's going to be startable in PPR leagues and be a low-tier flex option for you as well in standard leagues.
Marlon Mack is someone to be rostering right now and potentially starting if you have people on bye and you're in a bind. Everything Tom said is absolutely true. And beyond that, if you are in a dynasty league, you need to realize how valuable he is. Like, the Colts don't have anyone else for the future. That's it right now. It's Marlon Mack. They might be bad enough to get a top tier running back, so that could scare you off a little bit. And this running back draft class is extremely deep. So I would not be surprised to see Indianapolis take another running back in the 2018 draft. But with that being said, Marlon Mack has had some fantastic signs and definitely needs to be rostered.
Another guy high up on this list on fantasypros.com, Austin Seferin Jenkins, one of my favorite names to look at because it makes me laugh, and former Tampa Bay Buccaneer. He's ranked as the number one tight end available on waivers, and that is right above none other than the tight end Ed Dixon from the Carolina Panthers. What are your guys' thoughts on those two guys, Austin Seferin Jenkins and Ed Dixon?
I would be taking Ed Dixon.
For me, tight end is so freaking ugly right now that I think ASJ is almost a must start. The Jets don't pass the ball that often, but when they do, they have been targeting ASJ a lot. He's a physical freak, easy target to get the football to. You got to be starting on him. He should be owned and close to 100% of the leagues right now.
Yeah, they lined him up as a wide receiver out wide on his touchdown catch. He is 6'7", like 285 pounds. He's a monster, and he beat the DB off the line.
Yep.
Didn't even touch the DB, just beat him off the line, and it was just an easy pitch and catch, and it was pretty impressive. And I think you're right, Tom. I think it's almost a must-start, kind of like Javon Kearse. Like, we talked about it before the show, Tim. I think that he's almost a must-start just because of the fact that you have to throw the ball to somebody. But now these Jets players are getting more and more like, hey, we got to throw to somebody. There's more and more of those guys to throw the ball to now. Some Austin Seferin Jenkins, you got Javon Kearse, you have Ardarius Stewart, who's getting involved in the running game as well with catching the ball.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to see where these Jets are going. Not a great team, but they're kind of finding their groove, and it'll be very interesting where they go from there. So another Jet, Elijah McGuire. We kind of talked about the Matt Forte and the that situation with Bilal Powell and everything like that. Elijah McGuire and Matt Breida, they are ranked number 6 and 7 for running backs, 9 and 10 overall. What are you guys' thoughts on those two guys? And if you had to decide between one, if you were deciding between one, which one?
Matt Breida. Maybe Breida all day. I don't think Hyde has the... He doesn't have the durability, and he doesn't have the strength to be the guy all the time. Breida is doing a good job of filling a role, and I don't necessarily think he's the future for the 49ers. But with that being said, for the rest of the year, I like his value a little bit more.
If you're looking to start a guy this week, I think you have to go with McGuire. Because right now, Kyle Shanahan was blatantly honest. I'm going to go with the hot hand. Who knows? Maybe this week Carlos Hyde's a hot hand and Breida gets 4 touches, which we've seen done. I don't think you could roll the dice with that. Unless you're 0-5 in a 16-team league, you can't be relying on starting Breida. I think Breida probably has higher upside because once Paul gets back, he's going to be the guy in for the New York Jets.
If Adrian Peterson is available on your waiver wire, is he a must-add?
No.
Wouldn't say must-add. If you got a roster spot, get him, though. We've seen running backs be viable in that Arizona Cardinals system. They do have a terrible offensive line. They need to run the football, and they're going to give AP some touches. He really didn't look like he had a whole lot left in his tank. Looked very average for the Saints, but you never know.
Wayne Gallman, if he's available right now, around 33%, he's owned. Is he a must-add?
Absolutely.
I would much rather have Gallman than AP right now.
Jerron Brown or John Brown or J.J. Nelson, if you had to decide between those three.
Jerron Brown.
Can I pass on all?
You can.
I'm going to pass on all.
Jerron Brown.
Any reason why you're going to pass?
It's every other week it's someone else for the Arizona Cardinals. 1 week, John Brown will score 2 touchdowns. Then you're going to start him. Then he's going to have 1 catch for 8 yards. Then J.J. Nelson's going to have 8 catches for 100 yards. And then you're going to go pick up J.J. Nelson. Then John Brown the next week. It's just clusterfuck. You don't know who's going to do it. It's you're just risking way too much. It's not worth it. There's far better options out there who are more consistent for you.
David Njoku or George Kittle.
Ooh.
Njoku.
I'd probably take Njoku, too. What other options do they really have? They gave Kenny Britt big-time money. Corey Coleman is out.
And they're not playing Kenny Britt.
Yeah.
I think he was out last week.
He's it's been a huge disappointment, which I understand. It would probably be hard playing for a team that's 0-5 and has looked that bad. But Njoku's been finding ways into the end zone. I do like George Kittle, though. I think this tight end crop next year, we're going to look back and say, oh, this is a very good tight end crop overall. But if I had to start a guy, it would be Njoku right now.
Yeah, so if you guys are looking for guys on the waiver wire, those are the guys that you should be targeting. Again, not everybody that we're telling you to target is, you know, starting caliber. You should be, if you have that roster spot and you really want to just add a guy, go ahead and do it. I think a Matt Breida, if you have a roster spot, why not just add a Matt Breida? If you have a Travis Kelce and you have George Kittle on waivers, why not just add him on there, you know? That's the way I look at it, so... All right, so that is it for our pickups / waivers. So we are going to come back at you guys in a little bit with our Fantasy Pros player breakdowns on who we would rather have for the week.
What's up, sports fans? It's the coach, Mike Faber.
This is Chris Sly, the Fantasy Guy.
And we make up the Fantasy Picks every Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. on WBLZSports.com.
Other shows will tell you to start David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott. We told you that's who you were supposed to draft before the season started. Listen to us every week. We'll give you those fantasy picks that you can't find anywhere else to help you win your league that week.
We don't have any funny accents here. But all we do is win. Listen to us and you'll do the same. We out. Send us out. Send us out, Chris Sly, the Fantasy Guy.
That's all, folks. Better listen.
Doug Pepford painting and pressure washing. You know, Chad, he has over 30 years of painting experience. He's interior, exterior, commercial, or residential. Doug Pepford covers it all. Is your house looking ugh? Well, call on Doug. Doug Pepford Painting and Pressure Washing, 404-966-3361. Mention WBLZ Sports and get a special We've Got Balls discount. That's Doug Pepford Painting and Pressure Washing, 404-966-3361.
What's up, podcast peeps? This is Brandon Reed from MyFantasySportsTalk.com. Check out myself, Dan Schalk, and Orlando Torres in the My Fantasy Podcast every Friday from 3 to 5 Eastern Time right here on WBLZSports.com. We got the primetime drive spot locked down, helping you get ready for the weekend. It's My Fantasy Podcast right here on WBLZSports.com. We got balls. Do you?
Hey, this is Webb from the 8-Bit Bros, and I gotta tell you, whether it be for your industrial, commercial, or residential needs, Gen Services is the electrical contractor for you. The Gen Services team has the expertise, commitment, and educational years to help you solve all of your electrical concerns. They have you in their best interest with helpful suggestions to accommodate your every want. Give them a call no matter the size of the job at 740-438-7173. Mention WBLZ Sports and you'll get a discount. That's Gen Services, 740-438-7173.
Hey, everybody. I'm Hayden Gibson, host of the County Fantasy Sports Podcast. We specialize in fantasy football, and it is the offseason, but we've still got the NFL draft, free agency, everything to talk about. So be sure to tune in, get that extra edge against your competition, and we're going to be talking a lot of wrestling during the offseason. So if wrestling and football intrigue you, tune in every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WBLZ Sports. We've got balls. So let's go there. Let's make our escape. Come on, let's go there. Let us can we stay? Can you take me higher? To a place where the line man see. Can
All right, everybody, we are getting back here, and Tim's on his way. I think he's puking. He's hammered. So the 8-Bit Bros really got to him this afternoon.
It's been rough for Tim, yeah. You know. We're kind of making jokes about our bye week, but it was really about Tim and his feelings. He's been hurt lately.
Yeah, he was very sad that I left for the week. So it is what it is, you know, not the end of the world, but to him, it may be. So, we are going to go ahead and do our fantasy forecast. for the, or our quarterback forecast for week number 6. Then we're going to do our running backs, and then our wide receivers, and then our tight ends, and then defenses, and so on, and blah, blah, blah.
Can we talk about kickers for once?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Maybe.
You want to start off with kickers?
Not
so we can
really.
Get them in here?
I just feel bad. Like, hopefully we don't have to talk about them. No. I feel bad about kickers.
We can talk about kickers if you want.
How about later we'll do, like, our kicker start of the week? I've been on fire lately with my kicker picks. I stream them all the time. I've been doing a good job. I got a guy who's going to win a lot of people their leagues this week.
Okay, that could work. You're going to go off of – well, let's talk about kickers real quick. We won't go too in-depth, but I just want to let people know what type of points these kickers are putting up in standard leagues.
They are nuts.
Yeah, so we have –
fuck kickers.
Dude, all right. So the Tim's back, and he's alive. He's done puking. So Harrison,
I was making tea.
Harrison Butker, he's the kicker that Kansas City signed after the injury to Cairo Santos. And this past week, he put up 21 points for a fantasy kicker. Adam Vinatieri, 18 points. Steven Gaskowski, 15. Robbie Gold, Justin Tucker, both with 13. And Blair Walsh with 12. These kickers are putting up some monstrous numbers.
What's crazy is that Butker was on the practice squad for the Carolina Panthers, yet the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can't find a kicker. It's been multiple years for them looking for a kicker, and this kid was just on a practice squad. He has been lights out, and I think Cairo Santos will not have a job when he gets healthy.
Yeah, it's pretty irritating to see that.
I'm pretty sure that the Bucs worked out Cairo Santos, actually.
He's on the IR.
And no, I'm 99.9% sure that they worked out Cairo Santos.
There's no way they can work out Cairo Santos. He's on the IR, bro.
For the Chiefs, and when you're on the IR, you can't like go try out for other teams.
All right, so we're going to go to our quarterback forecast for week number 6. And on fantasypros.com, their number 1 ranked quarterback, Tom Brady at the Jets. Number 2, Aaron Rodgers at the Vikings. Tough matchup. Number 3, Drew Brees against the Lions. Lions defense is pretty good this year. Number 4, rookie sensation, Deshaun Watson at the Cleveland Browns. And number 5, Matt Ryan versus the Miami Dolphins.
I want to justify myself here. The Tampa Bay Times says that the list includes former Bucs kicker Pat Murray, who was the Bucs kicker in 2014, but missed most of the last two seasons, as well as former Chargers kicker Josh Lambeau, former Iowa kicker Marshall Cohen. The list also includes former Chiefs kicker Cairo Santos, who is still about 3 weeks away from a healthy return from a groin injury and will be in for a physical. He was possibly cut from the Chiefs, but yes, he was worked out by the Tampa Bay Bucs. So fuck you, you're cool, no one over here. I'm right. Eat a dick.
All right, so Tim's still wrong, but so that's the top 5. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan. What do you guys think of those top 5?
It's pretty interesting that Deshaun Watson's in the top 5 right now. He deserves to be there, though. But if you ask anyone a couple months ago, will Deshaun Watson be a viable fantasy quarterback, everyone would say no. And now he's the hottest quarterback in the NFL, probably the quarterback with the best matchup overall this week. But I like where he's at. Four is a good spot for him. Overall, Tom Brady against the Jets, he's done a good job there. They need to come out and prove everyone wrong. A lot of people are down on the Patriots. I think Brady's gonna have a big game. A little worried about Rodgers. I don't think this is going to be one of his better weeks. We've seen him in the past struggle against Zimmer and that Minnesota defense, especially at Minnesota. They're going to be relying on the run game and their defense to win this game. Big fan of Breeze as well this week against a tough Detroit lineup.
I am big on Matt Ryan. I feel like Matt Ryan is the number one quarterback going into this week against Miami, who has struggled. They're going to get out to a very big lead very early. So I'm going to take Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I like that ranking of the top 5 here, but I honestly like Matt Ryan a little bit higher. I like Matt Ryan a little bit higher than Deshaun Watson and Drew Brees. I put him actually maybe even above Aaron Rodgers. I like Matt Ryan's matchup this week against the Miami Dolphins. And maybe even Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins at number 7, we haven't talked about him yet, but I think Kirk Cousins should possibly move up a little bit more on this list as well. So with that being said, number 6, Cam Newton. Number 7, Kirk Cousins. Number 8, Matthew Stafford. Number 9, famous Jameis Winston. Number 10, Carson Wentz.
For me, I'm a little nervous about Cam Newton this week. Yeah, he's been pretty good last 2 weeks. Over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns in each of those games, looking like his former self, the MVP Cam Newton. But it's a Thursday night game. We've brought that up a lot. It's hard to trust these guys that are playing on Thursday night. It is a good matchup, though. But we will see if Devin Funchess is playing. They already out a number of weapons, but I think they're going to rely on their run, their defense in this game. He's outside of my top 10 this week. Big fan of Kirk Cousins against the San Francisco 49ers coming in off a bye. Look, Jacoby Brissett, T.Y. Hilton, they just torched the 49ers secondary. I think Cousins is going to be able to do the same thing with his weapons. I'm expecting a big bounce back from some of those receivers, especially Jamison Crowder. Big week for Kirk Cousins.
Tom, you just read my mind with a lot of what you just said. I like Kirk Cousins a lot this week to push that top 5. Also, Matthew Stafford, you know, if he can be healthy against New Orleans, and I don't care if it's in New Orleans, that's still a very big opportunity for him. So Stafford and Cousins are my guys.
Yeah, I would, like I said, I would move Cousins up a little bit higher for me, just against that San Francisco defense. I would just move him up a little bit. Carson Wentz, like we've talked about before, a little bit of a tough matchup against Carolina, the way the Carolina's defense has been playing. So I'm a little worried about that. And even with Philly's defense, how they've been playing as well with Cam Newton playing against them. So I'd move Kirk Cousins up just a little bit. Maybe even my list for my top 10 would probably look like Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, then probably Kirk Cousins. It'd probably be like about that route for me. Number 11, Carson Palmer. Number 12, Alex Smith, getting no love. 13, Phillip Rivers. 14, Derek Carr. 15, Jacoby Brissett.
I like Jacoby a lot this week. Quarterback Colts facing the Tennessee Titans. People have been able to pass on the Titans. Teams have struggled at running the football against them. Jacoby has shown that he can throw the football. Look, T.Y. Hilton has been blowing up as of late. Brissett's had a few 300-yard yard games for the Colts so far. I think Jacoby has a good game. You got to add in those rushing touchdowns. He's been doing that, it seems like, almost every week, those rushing yards. He's a mobile quarterback. I like Jacoby. He's a top 12 play for me this week.
Jacoby is all good and well, but give me one Carson Palmer at home against a soft Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary. I like Carson Palmer this week, big time.
Soft. Come on, man.
Soft. You know it. If you were, you would admit it if you were a real fan.
I could see Palmer doing good this week.
Because Tampa Bay's secondary is soft.
That's not the reason. My reasoning would be that Tampa gets out to an early lead, and which it seems like is happening almost every week on the Cardinals, and then they're forced to pass the football. Palmer's getting abused every week.
True.
He's the most hit quarterback in the NFL. Second most hit quarterback in the NFL is Tom Brady. Who did he play last week? The Bucs. They were able to get after him. They're going to be able to put that pressure on Carson Palmer. But as long as Palmer could stay healthy and upright, he's got a chance to get over 300 yards like he's been doing almost every week with Andre Ellington, all those Browns he has, Larry Fitz. But Palmer, I like him this week. Just a little worried about the Bucs getting after him.
If you are an owner of a quarterback that is on bye this week, is there anybody outside of this top 15? Because chances are a lot of these guys inside the top 15 are owned. Anybody outside the top 15 you're looking at to possibly stream as a quarterback?
It is not very pretty. Look, you got Mariota at 16. I don't think he's going to play. Even if he does, he's got that hamstring injury. That could limit him, especially if he's that game-time decision. We saw some people were starting Bradford last week when people were expecting him to play, and look what happened with him. Big Ben against Kansas City on the road. He has struggled. He struggled last week at home, so I don't know what kind of game he's going to have. For me, if I had to pick one guy, it'd be number 25 on this list, Joe Flacco. We saw him come back last week, was hitting the deep ball. I think he'll be able to move the football, and as long as they don't get out to a huge lead on the Chicago Bears, he should be throwing the ball a little bit. I could see him getting close to 250 and a couple touchdowns in this game.
I like Flacco as well. That was going to be my pick, but I'll go elsewhere just because you took that from me.
Sorry.
Josh McCown against the New England Patriots, who have struggled mightily. They're going to be down. He's going to have to throw the ball. So, Josh McCown, let's see what you got, kid. Maybe there he has 2 to 3 picks, but he might have 2 to 3 touchdowns as well.
Trevor Siemian for me. And as much as I think that they're going to try to run the ball against the Giants defense, I just think it's set up right now for the Denver Broncos to come out and throw the ball against the Giants. I just really like this matchup for Siemian if it does have to happen that way and they have to throw the ball.
So I want to give some clarity here on the Cairo Santos.
Okay.
He was waived / injured by the Chiefs. So the point was he was placed on IR, but the injury was never expected to be a season ender. So that's why he can work out for the Buccaneers.
Gotcha.
That's why it was an actual thing. So that's all.
All right, so
thank you, Tim.
Thank you for that breakdown.
Hey, you guys, you want to call me a retard for saying something? I'm gonna friggin' call you all on the back.
All right. Let's go ahead and if you're trying to decide between a couple guys for quarterback, let's just say you have a Phillip Rivers and a Derek Carr this week. They are playing each other, and Derek Carr's coming off of injury. Who are you guys feeling this week?
I'll go Pip. I'll take Pip Rivers all day. Oakland's secondary has been a little bit soft, and I just don't trust Derek, even with Amari and specifically Michael Crabtree. I just think Michael Crabtree has a better opportunity.
I like Pip as well.
All right. I said Michael Crabtree has a better opportunity, but obviously Phillip Rivers has a better opportunity.
Okay. Jameis Winston is at number 9, and Carson Palmer is at 11. They both play each other. What are you guys liking?
I like Jameis in this one.
I like Jameis as well.
All right, yeah, kind of same way for me. The only thing is with Carson Palmer is if they do get down early, like you alluded to earlier, Tom, fantasy points are there for the passing yards. So one more that I did want to ask you guys, because Matthew Stafford is a little banged up and that Saints defense has been playing a little bit better, Matthew Stafford or an Alex Smith against that Pittsburgh defense?
I'd take Alex Smith.
I would take Matthew Stafford.
Me, personally, I would go Alex Smith just because I've been down on Matthew Stafford so far this week.
5 straight games for Matthew Stafford not getting over 300 yards. I think that continues.
And New Orleans defense is the perfect opportunity for him to break that trend.
They've been playing better. The last 2 games, they've been doing a good job.
Meh.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to running back and PPR, again, scoring-wise.
This is the PPR format.
Number 1 on the list, we have Le'Veon Bell. Number 2, Kareem Hunt. Number 3, Leonard Fournette. Number 4, Todd Gurley. And number 5, Melvin Gordon.
Who do you think's more irritated at this point of how things have played out in Pittsburgh? Le'Veon Bell or Le'Veon Bell fantasy football owners? Because he is just... He came out and said that after 5 picks, you know, we need to be running the ball more. He seems pretty frustrated. Has not had that monster game that you'd expect from Bell at this point.
Well, Le'Veon Bell has also come out multiple times and said that he doesn't care about fantasy football and the fantasy football owners because it is, again, just fantasy football. But at the same time, he only ran the ball, 10, 12 times last week for, 50-something yards. But at the same time, he also had 10 catches. So in PPR formats, that's 10 points right there. Plus all of his rushing yards, plus all of his receiving yards. So it does all add up for people. So if they're throwing a fit about it, it is what it is. You're getting 10 points with all your receptions. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'd say it does, but not really. Carry on. I mean, I just went... He is extremely frustrated. I know he doesn't care about fantasy football necessarily, but... For a pure running back position, he's not been the guy that kind of everyone thought he would be.
He should be frustrated, though. even the novice football fan can tell that the Steelers offense is not clicking on all cylinders. They look nothing like the Steelers offense that we're used to, especially when they have a healthy Le'Veon Bell. So he should be frustrated. They just need to hope that it gets rolling. It's still early in the season. We're only through 5 weeks. Long season left to go.
Number six on the list, we have Devonta Freeman. Number seven, Jordan Howard. Number eight, Lamar Miller. Number nine, C.J. Anderson. And number 10, Jay Ajayi.
God, I'm hoping Jay Ajayi can get it going. It's going to be tough, though. Falcons playing at Atlanta. Falcons are coming off a bye. And the Falcons, they're probably going to be up big in this game, in my eyes. So that might limit the carries for Jay Ajayi. It'll be interesting. Not a big fan of Jordan Howard against Baltimore either. I think they're going to be down. They're going to be able to focus in and key in on stopping that run. Out of the 6 through 10, my top guy, though, would be Devonta Freeman for Miami.
My top guy is going to be one C.J. Anderson, much to Josh's chagrin, because I believe he plays him in our Keepers League this week against the New York Football Giants. Denver's going to be up throughout the game, and they're going to be burning clock throughout the game. So I'm looking for C.J. Anderson to have 25 to 30 carries and be successful with a lot of those.
I do like Devonta Freeman this week, Tom, like you said, even though Miami's front seven does play pretty well. Mm-hmm. But Freeman, after a bye week, same thing with Matt Ryan, how I think Matt Ryan should be number two on the quarterback list. I think Devonta Freeman should move up a little bit higher on this list, possibly the number four. I'd probably move Melvin Gordon up. Or actually, I'd move Melvin Gordon up to four and move Devonta Freeman to five and move Todd Gurley down to six. That's probably what I would make my list right there.
I like that list, actually.
Next up, number 11, DeMarco Murray. Number 12, Duke Johnson. Number 13, Christian McCaffrey. Number 14, Doug Martin. And number 15, Amir Abdullah.
I like this group. Not a huge fan of DeMarco. I think his value will rely on Marcus Mariota this week. If they do not have him, the Colts have been good at stopping the run game. And we saw last week that he struggled with Matt Castle at quarterback. But Duke Johnson at 12, it's pretty high. You got to think, how do you guys think this game's going to go? Personally, I think Houston's going to be destroying them. I think they'll be up big. I think they will be forced to pass the football, which has been Duke Johnson's MO. I could see him getting 6 to 10 catches, which would make him extremely viable in PPR, which is why people have him as a number one running back in a 12-team league right now. He deserves to be there.
I have, out of all those guys, I don't like DeMarco Murray at all this week, in all honesty. I think this is going to be Derrick Henry's week against Indy. I think at 11 should be one Amir Abdullah, and Duke Johnson at 12 is right where he needs to be. Amir Abdullah is going to have a week. He's going to actually be pushing the top 10, probably even higher than 11, against New Orleans. This is going to be the time Matthew Stafford implements him in the passing game as well. Look for Amir Abdullah to be big this week. So Amir Abdullah and Duke Johnson, for that matter, are going to have fantastic games.
I would rather take a Buck Allen out of any of those guys right now for this week, me personally. I like Buck Allen against the Bears. He is on this list at number 19. I would take him as much as I like Duke Johnson. We've talked about Duke Johnson over and over again because he does get those catches out of the backfield. But with Buck Allen and no Terrence West this week, possibly, I think Buck Allen, he should be going through the roof right now with value. He catches the ball in the backfield. He catches it well. He runs the ball. He's going to get at least half the touches, if not more. I think it's going to be more of a 60-40 split between him and Alex Collins. But all the receiving targets are going to go towards him. And again, every reception is a point. That all adds up. We've seen Buck Allen get 5 catches a game, 6 catches a game, 4 catches a game. That stuff adds up. So I'd rather have Buck Allen out of all those guys.
In that group, we also got Carlos Hyde, 16, 17, Marshawn Lynch, 18, Aaron Jones, Buck Allen, your boy, at 19, and Mark Ingram. I like Mark Ingram on that list as well. AP is gone. You got to expect that Ingram will be getting all the goal line carries, which is good. That's what you want from your running back. But you also got to remember, Mark Ingram catches the football very well. He's been a guy that catches 40 to 50 balls a year. You could pencil him in 3 to 5 receptions, and he's going to find the end zone one of these weeks. I like Mark Ingram a lot this week.
Josh, I have to ask you at 21, I know I'm pushing the limit here, is Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara at 21 or Buck Allen at 19? Who do you like more?
I think Alvin Kamara catches 9 passes this week. I'm really going on a limb. I'm going on a limb. I really think so.
Right.
But I think Mark Ingram also catches at least 4. So I really think, and I've said this over and over again, those passes, those running backs are what they are. They're extended handoffs. And when you can get the ball onto those playmakers, as long as Mark Ingram has been around professional football, he's a very good pass-catching running back, as much as people don't give him credit for. He can catch the ball very well out of the backfield. Alvin Kamara is just a better version of him catching the ball out of the backfield, but Mark Ingram is a better version of him running the ball. So they complement each other very, very well.
Fair enough.
I will go on to number 22, James White, 23, Andre Ellington, 24, Tevin Coleman, and number 25, Jerick McKinnon.
And 26 and 27 in there, please.
26, Mike Gillisley. 27, Tariq Cohen.
Obviously, I like 21. You guys were already talking about Alvin Kamara. But I like number 23 on this list as well, Andre Ellington. I could see Arizona falling behind in this game, which would lead to a very positive game flow for Andre Ellington. Brought it up earlier, maybe it was a previous episode, that he's kind of like a poor man's Danny Woodhead, and that's the role he's going to be playing for Arizona. You can expect him anywhere 5 to 10 catches and be a viable fantasy running back in PPR this week.
Tevin Coleman's going to have himself a 2016 vacation. He's going to go out there and look good. He's going to be the Tariq Cohen of 2016 against the Miami Dolphins. Going to have 4 to 5 receptions, have a touchdown, and get 8 to 10 carries as well. Tariq Cohen, on the other hand, it scares me against Baltimore quite a bit. I feel like this is the week that you see the drastic who he is, what he's actually going to be against that stout and extremely aggressive Baltimore Ravens defense.
I don't know if I agree with that terminology that you're using, Tim, like who he is, because I think, and I know Tom thinks, that he is a very electric player, and whenever he gets the ball, he makes it happen. But I think the type of quarterback play that Mitchell Trubisky does implement for this offense does not suit Tariq Cohen as well, because when you had a Mike Glennon drop back, he could easily just dump the ball off. When you have a Mitchell Trubisky drop back, instead of dropping the ball off to Tariq Cohen, he's going to roll out to the right, or he's going to roll out to the left, or he's going to run up through the middle. That means those dump-off passes that were going to Tariq Cohen 6-7 times a game will now happen 1 or 2 or 3 times a game. So I think it's not a restriction on his talent, like you may be saying. I think it's a different kind of gameplay on Trubisky's part, and that's not negative for either one, I guess, but it's negative for fantasy purposes, but not negative for the other person. Because you got to remember,
I respect what you're saying.
When Trubisky does roll out, there's going to be a defensive player keyed up on Tariq Cohen, because that's the type of respect that he demands. But, I mean, he's a good player. I just don't think he's a great player, but I think he commands a defender covering him. But, Tom, Andre Ellington, I do love Andre Ellington this week, just for the fact, like you said, I think they will be down. But even if they aren't down, you got to remember, those passes that David Johnson was getting last year, who are they all going to right now? They're going to Andre Ellington. They're not going to a Kerwin Williams because he can't catch the ball out of the backfield. They're not going to Chris Johnson because he's not there anymore. They're not going to go to an Adrian Peterson, because even though he can catch the ball out of the backfield, that's not what he's known for. They are going to Andre Ellington, and 9 balls this last week, 9 balls the week before, 5 the week before. I still think he can catch the ball in the backfield with PPR aspect. I think he should be a little bit higher on this list.
Not this week, but next week you're going to see a dramatic change in the fantasy value for everyone in Arizona, in my opinion.
Why?
Because you're going to see AP getting 15 to 20 carries.
I'm expecting that.
Yeah.
All right. Not this week, but he's gonna soak up a lot of, you know, he's gonna be what he wanted to be in New Orleans. That New Orleans said, no, like, Absolutely not. He's going to get what he wanted. So it's going to just totally change the fantasy output for everyone in Arizona.
All right, so let me ask you guys a couple questions here. We have a couple guys a little bit lower on the list that some people may be deciding between their number two and their number three running back on their team. So you have Frank Gore. Frank Gore is a number one running back on his team, but you also have Marlon Mack there, obviously. But Frank Gore, if you're rolling with him as a starter, and say that you have a Chris Thompson as well facing San Francisco, which running back are you picking and why? PPR.
Chris Thompson, no doubt. Especially, I mean, PPR, it's not even a question. Chris Thompson may double Frank Gore's output.
Yeah, a little nervous about Frank Gore this week. He looks okay, but he looks like that 34-year-old running back. He's not very explosive. He's not really making guys miss. But with Ryan Kelly back, that run game did look better. Tennessee's been good at stopping the run. They did a good job last week at shutting down Jay Ajayi, even when Jay Cutler could not pass the ball whatsoever. Just not a huge fan of Gore this week. I would take Thompson over him in PPR.
You have James White. You have Mike Gillisley. You have a LeGarrette Blount, and then you went out on waivers and picked up a Wayne Gallman. Which two?
Wayne Gallman.
Gillisley is going to find the end zone this week. I like starting him. I think he'll get in there twice this week. You know, Patriots backfield, it's tough to predict. Look, last year with LeGarrette Blount, he was kind of a pain in the ass to own. When he did hit, though, it was a big-time hit. I think that's gonna happen this week, and Gallman kind of worries me this week. I think there's not going to be many run lanes to run through, but I think he's got a chance 5 to 6 dump-off passes. That's kind of been his ceiling in PPR right now, and I think he's got a chance to do that. He has proven to Eli that he can catch the football. I don't mind Gallman as a low-end 2 or a flex or a running back 3 right now.
Gallman and Gillisley are my two guys.
Gallman and Gillisley?
Yep.
Okay. So say you had a LeSean McCoy, and you were lucky enough to get a Ezekiel Elliott later in the second round, right? So those two running backs are on bye, obviously. So you went out, you went on waivers, and you were the one that ended up with Adrian Peterson and Marlon Mack. Are you comfortable starting both of those this week?
No.
No.
Not at all, but you know who your starters are, so you don't really fucking care.
Say you also have a Theo Riddick on your team as well. Which two out of the three?
I'm not a big fan of what Detroit's doing with Theo right now. Look, he's been notorious for getting a lot of the passing down work. But right now, Amir Abdullah is eating into those. We've seen his snap count continue to drop. I'd rather have Mack and AP than Theo Riddick this week, even in a PPR.
I would take Abdullah and Mack. It's a week early for AP.
Abdullah and Mack?
You said Amir.
Marlon Mack and
AP or Theo.
AP or Theo.
Well, I'm totally misunderstanding what you're saying.
Out of those three, which two?
Right, I was taking Theo. I'm taking Theo and Marlon Mack.
There we go.
It's just a week early for AP in my opinion. AP is just. He's going to be the guy in Arizona, but it's not just yet. I'm combining Detroit running back, so that's my issue there. No worries. My apologies. But no, AP is going to be the guy for sure. He's going to be very, very successful in Arizona, but not yet. You're a week away.
Is there a breakout performer this week that you guys are feeling this week? You said Gillisley with 2 touchdowns. You feel that with anybody else?
I could see Samaje Perine having a big week. I have a feeling Rob Kelly's going to be sitting out. Perine will be getting a majority of those touches, and I think they could be up big and get him somewhere between 18 and 20 rushing attempts, which and somehow find the end zone. That's my one main guy.
Tim, what about you?
C.J. Anderson against the New York Football Giants at home. He's going to have plenty of opportunity because the Broncos are going to be up, so he's going to get a lot of carries.
What about your bust of the week? Who do you guys have?
My bust of the week will be I'm going to have to go with Jordan Howard. I just do not. It's a favorable matchup. Baltimore has been giving up points to fantasy running backs the last few weeks, We saw Marshawn Lynch find the end zone and be somewhat productive. But I just think the whole Bears offense is going to be stagnant going into Baltimore. It's going to be a rough day for Chicago. I think, what's his name, Tre Cohen has a better day than Jordan Howard.
That was going to be mine, but since it can't be, I'm going to say DeMarco Murray. I think Derrick Henry's going to have the better day there against Indy. And, yeah.
If you're a Jordan Howard owner, are you looking at possibly trading him sooner rather than later? Because you got to remember,
should trade him last week.
Yeah. So the Bears are rolling out rookie quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. We've seen Jordan Howard get hurt week after week after week. At least every week he's coming out with some sort of injury.
Yep.
If you're looking at trading him, what are you looking at getting back for him?
Jeez, it's really going to be hard to get equal value. If you draft him, if it's a redraft league, there's no way you're going to get equal value from right now. But I would be content with, like, if it's a PPR league, a Buck Allen and, like, another player somewhere around there. I think Buck Allen will be more consistent. He has been. PPR, he's a higher-ranked running back right now in PPR format.
I mean, you're hoping to find the village idiot. Is what you're hoping to find with Jordan Howard. You're hoping the name and the past history, not the recent past history, you know, bring out. I would rather hold on to a Jordan Howard than trade for a Buck Allen.
If I got like a Buck Allen, Chris Hogan for him, which I think is doable, I'd be happy with that and I would take it.
Wow. That shocks me. I feel like that is.
I don't have any faith in Howard. I told people to be scared of him. Do not draft him. He's had one solid week against Pittsburgh. He's been banged up. I just don't think in PPR his value is that high.
With PPR, his value is definitely lower. But with the Bears' offensive line, which is better than people give it credit for, Buck Allen and Chris Hogan for Jordan Howard, that is obnoxious, in my opinion. I would
do it in a heartbeat in a redraft league.
If I'm on the Buck Allen, Chris Hogan side, I would also do it in a heartbeat. Difference of opinions. I don't know, Josh.
Why would you be so hesitant to do that with a Chris Hogan and a Buck Allen?
I believe
honestly, the reason why. Listen, I'm a Buck Allen owner, number one in our league. He is so hot and cold.
You don't think Jordan Howard's hot and cold?
We don't know what Jordan Howard is yet in this new offense. What we do know is that he has a real offensive line in front of him.
Well, let me say it like this, all right? So, Chris Hogan, do you know his ranking for PPR wide receivers or no?
Go ahead, tell.
No, just take a guess.
28.
Okay, that's a good guess.
Top 10.
Okay, that's a very good guess. He's number 5 overall.
Leading targets and, I believe, receptions for the Patriots
right
now.
That is correct.
And people are underestimating him.
Yes.
And he's got a touchdown in 5 straight games.
And then Jordan Howard, for running backs, is number 13 overall for PPR. And who are we looking at, Buck Allen?
He's probably 17. I thought he was higher.
Buck Allen is number 15 overall, so 2 under. And that's right underneath Dalvin Cook there. So, running back that is very similar to Jordan Howard.
I still think throughout the year, I don't know. Especially in PPR, I don't see.
I was lucky enough to trade away Christian McCaffrey in a PPR league for Joe Mixon and Chris Hogan. I immediately took
absolute steal.
Took that deal in a heartbeat, just because I needed a wide receiver, and getting Joe Mixon, having back-to-back-to-back-to-back bad weeks, hoping and knowing that he would finally break out, finally happened. So I think if you're getting Chris Hogan in any deal, and especially if you're getting Buck Allen with no Terrence West there, I think it's a steal, hands down, especially a redraft league. So, moving on to wide receivers. Number 1 on the list, Antonio Brown. Number 2, DeAndre Hopkins. Number 3, Julio Jones. Number 4, Jordy Nelson. Number 5, Michael Thomas.
You got to like all 5 of these guys. The only guy I'm really worried about would be Jordy against Minnesota. Look, Xavier Rhodes has probably covered him. and he's probably not 100% healthy. That means Jordy Nelson should be viewed as a wide receiver 2 or 3. Rhodes has done a good job covering stud wideouts this year. He held Mike Evans in check. He held Antonio Brown in check. He's done a good job. He's playing lights out right now. So move Jordy Nelson the hell out of that group. But I like Antonio Brown this week against KC. The teams have been able to pass on them. Hopkins has just been a stud. He's been peppered with targets, been finding the end zone, and he's back to his 2015 version. He's finally got a quarterback. Julio, a little nervous this game could get out of hand. Don't know how much they're going to be passing. I think you're going to have to pray for a dominant first half for him to get much value this week.
Jordy, Michael Thomas, and Mike Evans, who's at 6, should all be handled with kids' gloves, in my opinion. T.Y. Hilton and Larry Fitzgerald at 7-8 are much more viable, better viable options. And I would move them up on that list.
So we can keep going down that list. We have Keenan Allen at number 9 and Chris Hogan at 10. So out of those top 10, who do you guys, would you move out of the top 10? You have Stephon Diggs right outside, Brandon Cooks outside of there, Tyreek Hill, who's playing Pittsburgh, Golden Tate and Devontae Adams. And kind of piggybacking off your Jordy Nelson thing that you talked about with Minnesota, Tom, do you think his injury is more than what people are letting on? Because right now I think he may just be a decoy out there. I think he's probably like 50 to 70% healthy, yep. And I think he's trying to give it his all, yep. And I think he's out there just to take some pressure away from the other wide receivers. True team player, I think, right now.
I agree with you 100%. Those hamstring injuries are tough. They're extremely easy to aggravate. I've had them before. You feel fine, and then you're running, and then you feel like complete shit. So I think Jordy, I'm just not a fan of him whatsoever. He's outside of my top 20. But a little nervous about Diggs as well. He's done a good job at torching Green Bay, and they've had some weaknesses. We saw Dallas be able to move the football, but it's hard to be a believer in Case Keenum. I know you think he's great. He's your bot, your guy, Mr. Joshua, the host.
Case Keenum.
It's hard to rely on him. I like Hogan this week, though. He's just been consistent, been reliable, and he's been a better option than Brandon Cooks for New England.
Julio, Jordy, and Mike Evans all will be outside of my top 10. Atlanta, it's just, I feel like they're going to be dominating Miami so much that Julio is not going to have to get the looks. Jordy, he's hurt, and obviously a tough matchup, and Arizona is going to be all over Mike Evans. So all three of those guys are outside of my top 10. I'm looking at a Stephon Diggs. I'm looking at a Brandon Cooks, and I'm looking at an Emmanuel Sanders going into this week.
Very interesting. I like Brandon Cooks this week against the Jets, even though that Jets secondary has played a little bit better, yep, as of late. Those two rookie safeties have been playing very well, so it'll be very interesting to see where they go from there. But I do like Brandon Cooks this week with his matchup. Outside the top 15, we have 16, Adam Thielen, white guy from Vikings. Number 17, Alshon Jeffrey. Number 18, Emmanuel Sanders. Number 19, Michael Crabtree, who just seems to catch touchdown passes. And number 20, Jarvis Landry.
I think Landry might be a little bit of a sleeper right now. I think the game flow is going to be, should be in Jay Cutler's favor. Should just be able to pass the football late in the game if he does not get benched by then. But Landry, I'm expecting him 8 to 12 receptions in this game. He's going to be a guy in PPR and in daily that I'm looking at. Should be somewhat cheaper. But Crabtree, you brought him up. Dude's he's just a baller. He's a good freaking wide receiver. He's super consistent. He's not going to give you that top 5 upside in most weeks, but he's one of the most solid wide receiver 2s you can get right now. And if you have him, you're pretty lucky.
Jarvis Landry, big game for him. That's it. I don't like anyone else.
All right. Number 21, Pierre Garçon. Number 22, Demaryius Thomas. Kind of interesting to see Demaryius Thomas that low on the list against the Giants defense. Randy Cobb, number 23. Kelvin Benjamin, number 24. DeSean Jackson, number 25, who did have over 100 yards receiving last week.
gotta like Pierre Garçon. He's facing his former team. Does not have to go against Mr. Josh Norman. He is out this week. So he's got a chance to do some work and hopefully prove that he's worth that money. Also like Mr. Randy Cobb. Hopefully Jordy Nelson will get the Xavier Rhodes treatment. He could do some damage across the middle. Aaron Rodgers is going to need to pass football and pass football to someone. Randy Cobb should be a beneficiary to that.
Pierre Garçon, you're looking at a $140 and a touchdown. Washington's going to be up big. So San Francisco's going to have to throw the football. So look for Pierre Garçon to have, you know, 6 to 8 receptions and have a big day. I'm also looking at for a Thursday night. Give me the eater of the group, Kelvin Benjamin. let that fat fuck eat. let him eat up some receptions and put up some numbers.
Danny Amendola is at number 30. Terrell Pryor is number 29, and Amari Cooper. It's 28. Sorry, I went backwards, but that's just the way I'm looking at it right now. And Amari Cooper here at 28 for me. I don't know. It's kind of shocking to see him that low, but at the same time, it is not shocking to see him that low because he has been doing poop as of late.
He should be that low. I think he's catching, I think it's like 25% of the balls thrown at him, which is horrendously bad. One of the worst in the NFL. Cannot catch a football. He's had success, though, against the Chargers. And Cooper, he's a good football player. I don't know if something's in his head, if he's injured, what's going on with him. But I'm expecting him to do something and do something this week. Also, like the guy you said at 29, Mr. Terrell Pryor. He's going to come out and perform this week. I like his matchup.
Give me Pryor and Cooper. Stay away from Devontae Parker. His injury and against a tough at time Chargers defense, stay away from it.
All right, so kind of just end it there. I just want to ask you guys a couple questions. If you had a compare or a pick between a couple guys, because I do want to get to the tight ends before we end the show in about 15 minutes. If Willie Snead does play, hopefully he does. He's playing the Detroit Lions. And you have a couple guys on bye. Say you have a Dez on bye or somebody else like that. If you're trying to decide between a Willie Snead and a Jeremy Maclin going against the Lions and going against the Bears, who are you guys looking at?
Jeremy, mother trucking Maclin.
I'd take Willie Snead.
You don't know enough about Willie Snead coming off his injury. You don't know how healthy he actually is. Maclin has shown some signs of life, and the Bears are hot garbage. And he's at home.
I'd take Willie Snead.
Jamison Crowder, who has really not done anything this year. And
had equal negative games.
Martavis Bryant, who again has not really done a ton. He had one big game, and that's really about it.
Martavis Bryant all day, not even a question. If you say Crowder, you have mental issues.
I'm going to go Crowder. Look, Martavis in his career has struggled on the road. Yeah, it's Kansas City. You've been able to pass the football against them, but I think Crowder's, he's going to come out. He's going to come out and play. Supposedly he's healthy, not limited. Jordan Reed is banged up. You got, Doxson is banged up. So there's going to be some yardage and some targets to be thrown, and I think Crowder's going to be the beneficiary of that. I think he's going to get over 5 receptions, close to 80 yards this week.
Just trying to fight with me, stupid-ass statement.
Giants receiving core and their tight end, or the Arizona receiving core and whoever is their tight end. I think it's Gresham.
I would take Arizona.
Arizona, yeah, for sure.
Going against Denver, it's tough. As much as I like Ingram this week, I think he'll be over 10 targets, which you got to like for a tight end. But I don't think their other guys are going to get open at much at all.
Allen Hurns. Or we'll say, who was I thinking of? Cooper Kupp.
I'd take Cooper Kupp. Lining up in the slot, one of the, not really a weakness against the Jags, but it's not going into their strong point in their secondary.
I'll go Allen Hurns.
Any reason?
Yeah, I like the matchup better. Okay. I don't feel like Cooper Kupp's going to, Allen Hurns against a favorable secondary where you have, you know, Cooper Kupp going against killers. That's just It is what it is.
I got a good one here. Robert Woods, who last week caught 5 of 8 targets for 66 yards, or a Adam Humphries going against Arizona.
Adam Humphries. Yeah, you got to expect Patrick Peterson to be lined up on Mike Evans. There might be some passing attempts and some catches to go around. Might try to avoid Evans, which a lot of teams, they normally try to avoid Patrick Peterson. That might happen this week. Humphries, he's been a guy who's been able to catch 5 to 6 balls, throw in 50 yards, and be a somewhat productive PPR play this year.
You know what, Tom? I'm picking up what you're putting down. I will agree with that.
All right, I like it. Wide receiver to have the most fantasy points this week, and the wide receiver to have the biggest dud out of some of the big name guys.
Tim, you go first.
The biggest week this week, I am going to go with. I'm blinking here for a second. I'm gonna go with Antonio Brown. I'm going to say Antonio Brown steps
up. Pick the
up.
Number one guy.
Well,
good job.
He's ranked number one, but he's had a lot of issues all over the place. Like he may be ranked number one, but he's not, in my opinion, and I own him. I'm not excited about his matchup or him being number one. He has a lot to prove, in my opinion, especially after his outburst and after last week with Big Ben being hot garbage. So I'm going to go AB.
My number one wideout this week will be Mr. Keenan Allen. I think he's going to be able to do work against the Oakland secondary. They haven't been that great this year. My biggest bust, Jordy, outside my top 20.
Yeah, I do agree with the Jordy pick. That makes total sense.
My biggest bust will be Mike Evans.
With Jordy, though, I wouldn't be surprised if he had 2 catches, 12 yards, and 2 touchdowns, though.
Yeah,
but for real, that's kind of the year he's had this year. I don't think he's going to be moving the football a lot for that team. And if he doesn't find the end zone, I don't think he's going to be that valuable.
All right, let's move on to tight ends. So our tight end forecast we have here. Number one on the list, Zach Ertz. Number two, Rob Gronkowski. Number three, Travis Kelce. Number four, Delanie Walker. Number five, Evan Ingram.
That tight end is so ugly right now. It is absolutely nuts that a rookie tight end is number five on this list. He's been somewhat productive, even though he laid a goose egg last week, but he's still a number one tight end overall in the season. I like him a lot this week. Kelce, you got to be worried about that matchup and his concussion. We'll see if he even plays. Zach Ertz, in my opinion, clear-cut number one tight end this week. Just that volume.
Negative, Highlander. This is Gronk week, baby. This is Gronk all day. Gronk's going to have close to 200 yards receiving and a touchdown or two.
You know what's funny is Evan Ingram is the number 9 overall fantasy tight end on ESPN PPR-wise, and he had 1 week with goose eggs all across the board. So it's pretty crazy to think about. But remember back to when we were breaking down some of these guys, right, through the draft process. And when we did talk about Evan Ingram, we said over and over again, he is that tight end that is going to be like a wide receiver. And you know what? They have a team now that has no wide receivers. So I think he's going to be lining up as a wide receiver. And I think we're going to see Evan Ingram finally, I don't want to say emerge into that Marquise Colston role, but I think that's what is going to happen. I said it from the get-go. I'm going to take credit for it. And I think Evan Ingram is going to be that go-to guy for the Giants from here on out, obviously, for the rest of the season for the wide receiver core-wise. But I do like where he's ranked this week. I would probably even consider him moving him up a little bit higher above Delanie Walker and Travis Kelce. Even though he's playing the Denver Broncos, I think everything is there for him to succeed.
That's been the one spot teams have been able to attack the Broncos at, though, the tight end spot.
Zach Ertz being number one, even though they're playing the Carolina Panthers, Zach Ertz has been putting up numbers, ridiculous numbers, and he's getting the ball thrown his way a lot and often.
Under 50 yards receiving, no touchdowns.
You're an idiot. Hate everything about it. How many touchdowns does he have on the year now?
5?
I don't even know. That's why I asked.
I think it's 3.
2 touchdowns on the year. But for PPR purposes, he has had over 13 points every single game. So, 8 catches, 5 catches, 8 catches, 5 catches, 6 catches. all over 55 yards. So those are pretty solid numbers. Yeah. Moving on, let's talk about... Did you? Yeah. number six, Austin Seferin Jenkins. Number seven, Kyle Rudolph. Number eight, Jordan Reed. Number nine, Cameron Make America Braid Again. Number 10, Hunter Henry.
I'm going to do my best, Tim. Austin Seferin Jenkins, 38 catches, 442 yards, 8 touchdowns. He is tight end number one this week. You got to like that ASJ.
That's not even realistic.
He's like, that sounds good.
That's good analysis, Tom.
Nothing about that is even realistic.
You really think Gronk in 200-plus yards is realistic?
I said between 150 and 200 yards. Against the Jets?
Gronk, yes. 38 yards.
Listen, talking about the guys that you just did, Austin Seferin Jenkins, a bit overrated. I feel like everyone should...
Just start Gronk or Zach Ertz, every one of your leagues, everyone. Austin Seferin Jenkins deserves to be started week in and week out. There are not 11 or 12 other tight ends who are more valuable in fantasy football this week, and they should be right. Down against Patriots. Pass the football, and ASJ is their best option. Okay. So you saying he's not a viable fantasy option is ludicrous, Tim.
I never said he wasn't a viable fantasy option.
He's like 6'13", 400 pounds, tight end.
Okay, well, when you're done, when you're done talking like a fucking Hilljack moron, the point was Austin Seferin Jenkins does have a good matchup, but I like Kyle Rudolph and Cameron Brate much better this week. So Kyle Rudolph, especially against that Nitro defense, there's a lot of gaps there in the middle of the field. And Kyle Rudolph's going to pick on that. So that's why Kyle Rudolph's going to be much better than ASJ. Your boy, you fucking hillbilly.
ASJ had a 2-game suspension, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if he would have played those first 2 games and he would have gotten at least 8.1 points, which is what he got his first game, he would be the number 7th ranked tight end.
Do you realize how fucking dumb that sounds?
No, it doesn't sound dumb at all.
It does sound dumb because Cameron Brate has scored 3 touchdowns in his last 3 games, right? But he wasn't suspended for his first 2, but he didn't do anything. So what's the difference there?
Well, week 1 he was on a bye.
Okay.
In week 2 he only caught 2 balls for 24 yards.
Right. My point is it doesn't matter. Like
I know, I'm just using a general. I could say 3 points. It doesn't matter. 3 points, it still puts him at number 11, which still puts him as a tight end number 1.
Cameron Bright, Kyle Rudolph will be better than ASJ this week.
All right. Anything else, guys, before we take off? We got 4 minutes left.
Fuck Tom. Whoa. Fuck Josh. Whoa. Fuck 8-Bit Bros.
Whoa, bro.
Why are you so hostile right now, Tim? Explain yourself.
Because you guys are kind of being dickholes.
I don't think so.
I think we're being gentlemen right now.
Scholars, you smell of leather bound books.
Yes,
rich mahogany.
Unbelievable. All right, anything else, guys?
That's all I got. All
right, let's wrap this up. Any Tim, you have any last parting words? No. All right, let's go ahead and wrap this up then. Again, everybody, we are Pony Kick Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Kick Sports at MMA News _ Tim. Oh no, that's your MMA one. At Pony Keg Tim, at Pony Keg Tom. Well, you can follow Tim at that one too. It doesn't matter.
You got like 8 of them.
Yeah. Hit us up on our website, ponykegsports.com. Email us, ponykegsports@gmail.com.
Start George Kittle.
Also, there is still the drawing for the jersey giveaway. Do yourselves a favor. Send us your fantasy questions. We will answer them. A couple more weeks left for that. So do yourselves a favor. Send in those questions. We'll answer them for you either live on air or email you back. And, you know, one or the other. And that's all we got for you guys. So until next time, we'll see you.
Peace!